gonna notice.
You're listening to the BDSIR Network, the best damn show in radio. This is STC from the UK. The interview with Glenn Roof Reloaded. Yes, yes, yes. I'm doing this because the Headbangers, right? They recently come on SmackDown as part of that tag team joint, right? And, you know what I mean? We did record a show for you this week, but, like, recording troubles and all that. You know what I mean? It was a bad look. So I decided to replay this interview that I had with the man called Glenn Roof, a.k.a. Thrasher of the Headbangers. This was recorded like a few years ago, so bear with me, right? We had a laugh though still, you know what I mean? Big shout out to him, man. He's a great friend of the STC, man. Word up, man. Yo, formalities, he goes like this, man. www.facebook.com/group/SmackTalkCenter. Request to join, but don't be a tragedy like Rob Good, because it doesn't like women. You know what I mean? Follow us on the Twitter at STC_WWE and at BDSIR_network, at He Has To Win, at Shantfather85, at KickFM, Carly is crap for real, man. And what's the other one? Oh, of course, my own, at Mizza the Infamous. That's what you have to do. You know what I mean? Shout out to all my listeners. Shout out to Shad, Mr. NXT, the serial killer, Mike Knox. You know what I mean? The whole SEC crew, the International Wrestling Fan Base crew. Each and every time. Okay, me done talk. Let's do this shit. Ayo, shout out to Kevin Owens, man. Respect. And fuck you, Vince Russo. Yeah, boy.
Get your chair.
Grab body, please.
Sound knock from blocks as I chill in bus grills. You take snapshots of a maniac dressed in black. A random track, did you play me too close?
Slow down and catch a cap.
If I don't play games and outlaw like Jesse James, the hell with the bitches in the so-called fame. Strictly fist the hard.
Yeah.
As I climb charts, busting that daily as I compose like Mozart. You stand, say your man. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Smack Talk Center, BDSIR Network. How y'all doing out there? I be your host, the infamous informer, aka Wolverhampton's Last Outlaw, aka Grant Body P. And this show is unlike any show you haven't heard before from the Smack Talk Center. Yo, but yes, yes, you're about to witness greatness. Something special has happened. Understand what's about to happen, yo. Yo, get ready to lose your mind. Standing ovation. Understand what's about to happen here. Yo, you're seeing him back in the Attitude Era. You know what I mean? It's like, yo, if real men wear studs, then the infamous informer is not a real man. That's how it goes. Yo, you're not even as fresh as the Headbangers. I call him Glenn Roof. Big up yourself, yo. He's in the building. Bang your head.
I got... First, you got more AKAs than anybody else. What the hell's going on with that? Jesus Christ.
I don't know about that, man. I don't know about more AKAs than anybody else. You know what I mean? and trust me, as a fan of hip-hop, I ain't got more AKAs than anybody else. Talk beyond that, man. Yo.
Let's first start the show by letting everybody know that Joints the Clown, Matt Bourne, passed today. You know, my sympathies, condolences go out to his family. Matt was a great, great competitor. He was a true ring general. You know, there wasn't too many guys that had the philosophy and the ring knowledge as Matt Bourne did. He's going to be, you know, very much missed by, you know, friends, family, fans, by everybody. Yeah. It's another tragedy, you know, another great competitor gone way too soon. He was, I believe, 56 years old.
Yeah.
So, it's sad, but you know, I guess the wrestler's lifespan isn't that long. I better start my bucket list now, man. Yeah. But you know, rest in peace, Matt.
Yeah, man. I mean, rest in peace. to Don't Clown Matt Bourne. Live on, live long, kid. Man, I mean, I know I turned on my computer today. I've seen it just blown up my Facebook. It blown up my Twitter. I was like, another one again. Oh,
it's funny too, because you never know, you know, what to believe on Facebook and stuff like that. There's so many imposters. There's so many, you know, people just, you know, wanting to say stuff, stupid stuff on Facebook that, you know, I don't understand. But, you know, when you see Jim Ross and everybody else start tweeting it out and everything, and, you know it's pretty legit. So, sad to Jim go. Very, you know, it's you know, hard for the wrestling community to let another great one go. So,
it's bad, man. I mean, boy, in such a period in wrestling as well where we've got milestones, you've got, you know, we had the loss of, we're still trying to get over the loss of Chris Benoit and all that business. Then you got, like, then as you say, man, you got, like, people, like, some dumb, retarded people out there making up pages. I mean, all the other day, I discovered that someone made a page about Lex Luger, about he died. I'm like, no, he hasn't. I mean,
yeah, somebody said he died, like, 2 days ago or anything else, and, they sent me like a tribute page, and you know, I get so many of these, you know, tribute things and likes, and like this page, like that page. I liked it right away, and I got bombarded with messages going, "Oh my God, Lex Luger died! I can't believe that." And I was like, "Oh, wait a second." So I went back and I read the page, and I unliked it really quick because, you know, I know Lex is still, you know, still with us. So, you know, it's just so weird, you know, with Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. You don't know who to believe, but you can believe this. I'm here right now.
Yeah, you best believe that. You best believe that. And I'll tell you something else, all you retarded so-called wrestling fans coming up on their Facebook, you know what I mean, making all these, let me tell you something, all these dumbass idiots. Hey, yo, Just before we continue on, you are allowed to cross bad words on this show. You can do that, man. I've had authorities from the boss man himself of the BDSR network, so don't worry about that. But I can go off on one as well, you know, and I'm about to go off on one right now. All you dumbass bitches talking about making all these fake ass pages, you know what I mean? Like my page, let losers die, RIP. Yo. You man's got to pay a penalty, man. You man's going to be judged, man. Whether you believe in the Most High or not, you're going to be judged, man. You're going to burn. Trust me. I don't stand for them things, man.
I don't understand it either. I don't know what they get out of doing stuff like that, but, you know, whatever. So, on to the questions.
Yeah, man. He wants to get into it now. Get Roof of the Headbangers. He wants to get into it. You know what? Let's not waste any more time on all that, man. Let's keep it moving. As I like to say, enough of this shit. Let's keep it going, y'all. All right. So here we are now. You, sir, you was part of the Headbangers. You was released from WWE, WWF, whatever you want to call it, in like 2000, something like that. You wrestled independently for over 2 years after that. You decided to hang up your boots. I wanted to take those same boots and put them back on, and now you're still doing it out there. So how does that feel, man, right now?
It was weird because, you know, I stopped, you know, for about 10 years, and it was something that was just eating at me that, you know, it wasn't the right time to go. I still had more to do. I wanted to go out my way, and going out the way I did, you know, it didn't feel right. So, you know, I packed up the family. I moved down to Florida. I got back in the gym. You know, and everybody always says this. It's such a cliche. You know, I'm in better shape now than I ever was. I can actually say it. I'm in better shape now. I can get better care of myself now than I ever have. You know, even when we were, you know, taking camps and everything. So, you know, me and Chaz, we live 12 miles apart from each other. I talk to him every day. You know, it's great. You know, it was something that, you know, we felt like we had the need to give back more to wrestling, give back to the younger guys coming up. And, you know, just, you know, when you get to this stage, I guess, of your career, that's what you want to do, is you want to, you know, give back what was given to you when you first started. Yeah. And, you know, we were given a lot when we first started from, you know, different teams and stuff like that. And, you know, it's our time to give back.
Let the dead dogs out!
There you go. I have yelled at my kids. I got three Doberman Pinschers, and all they do is when they want to go outside, they just bark, and my kids just don't understand it. Get back in the closet.
But you say you got what, three Dobermans?
I got three Dobermans, but I have four kids. So my life is just, it's just crazy.
Well, you know what? That answers Marion Tolder's question. Marion Tolder, he's a member of the Frat Talk Center. He wanted to ask me to ask you that, if you had any pets. And you just answered it right there.
I have a small zoo in my house. I have three Doberman Pinschers, and they're both, or all three of them are really big dogs. I got a mom, dad, and a son from a litter. Then I have two cats, and I also, my one daughter has a hamster. So I got a small petting zoo going on, and it's crazy. Absolutely.
Well, you already know, man. Yeah, I mean, that's good, man. Like, it's action packed at your place right now. Crazy action packed.
It's always crazy. It's always crazy. It's nutty.
No one can stay aboard at your house. You know what I mean?
That's right. There's never a dull moment at the Headbanger House. Absolutely never a dull moment.
I can believe that.
I'm always doing something off the wall with my kids. My kids have no idea what I'm going to do next. It's great.
Let me ask you a question of mine. You know what I mean? You talk about that. Has anyone, you know, attempted to try and break into your home?
Knock on wood, no. Not yet. I think the dogs would actually, because they're very, very protective of the house and of the kids. And I can't even play wrestle with my kids because my dogs will after me. So I would feel bad if anybody tried to get into this house. I would feel bad.
See? That's why they say don't try this at home, because if you try it at home, the dogs will get you.
That's right. Don't worry about me. I'm going to be running the other way. Don't worry about the dogs. The dogs will tear your ass up.
I mean, all due respect to you, Glenn, but I'll tell you right now, don't expect me at your house. me and dogs don't mix at all. I got beaten in the ass when I was 5. I was coming home from church with my grandma. I got beaten in the ass. Never again. Never again.
I'm done with dogs after these. I've had my fill of dogs. I want to be able to just walk out of my house and not worry about if the dogs are going to tear this up, this, that. Am I going to come home and there's going to be shit on the floor?
Oh, no.
I just want to get, I'm done with animals. Love them. Animals are like kids. You love them and you play with them and everything else. You just don't want them to be yours.
I like that, man.
I'm a great uncle. Make me an uncle of anything. I'll play with them and get them all riled up and then give them back to you. Because I don't want them.
You know what? That's where I've got the advantage right now. Because I'm still an uncle. I'm a godfather. I'm an uncle. But I'm not a father yet of anything.
It's funny because I always tell people today, you know, kids are better left if they're all swallowed. Because then the world is all great. Followed, it would be beautiful. You know what I'm talking about, too.
Yo, we just on that way. You're getting some jokes today, man. Yo, I just want to shout out real quick to the boss man of the BDSI Network, Mike Knox, and all his team at the Perfect Flex, KOD, Spotface, and Trevor Vieira, for even helping make this happen, man. You know what I mean? That's how it goes, man. I give them all the respect in the world, and I give them big respect for letting you be ourselves. And that's all I've got to say about that. My gosh.
Okay, that's my oldest daughter. The other day, she got into a fight with the couch, and the couch won. So she has a broken toe right now. So she's crying because she's a baby.
Oh, no!
I'll
switch
the camera around so you can see
you. He's putting his daughters on blast here.
That's the baby.
Oh.
She's a big baby.
I'm sure she'll get the strip. She'll get over it.
Yeah. That's what I told her. I told her, rub some dirt on it. It'll be fine. She made me take her to the hospital and everything.
Oh,
Jesus.
Here's my hair.
I'm a hairdresser. Well, you know, the human body is a fascinating thing. You know what I mean? It can pretty much heal from almost any injury. So it's all right.
Yeah, she'll be all right in 6 to 8 weeks if I don't step on it.
Yeah, man. All right. Let's keep it moving right now. Your time in the WWF, because let's be real. I mean, that's one of the things you must long for anyway. Who did you enjoy competing while you was out there, man? And that comes from STC member Neil Jinman.
Actually, you know, we used to love wrestling. The New Age Outlaws, the Godwins, LOD was always fun. We had a good thing going with the Dudley Boys, and they stopped it. And it was weird back then. Is all the tag teams that we worked back then, they were all so much fun to work. You know, Billy and Bob Holly, or I'm sorry, Bart and Bob Holly, when they did the new gimmick, the new, what were they? Bombastic Bart. When they were with Cornette, you know, we liked working them. I mean, we liked working the new Blackjacks. I mean, there wasn't a team up there that you could say, oh my God, I don't want to work them. Except maybe Doug and Phil. Doug Furness and Phil LaFong. Because, you know, it wasn't that they couldn't wrestle or they couldn't work, because they could, you know, wrestle and work circles around everybody up there. It was just, you know, it was that Japanese pace. It was, you know, because they were so used to the Japanese style.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, you know, anything about them. And, you know, I think that, you know, they got a raw deal with WWF or WWE at the time, you know, just because of the way they were brought in. They weren't brought in with, you know, a lot of fans didn't know who they were. They didn't know that they were huge over in Japan. They were legends over there. You know, if they could have did some kind of vignettes or something like that, telling everybody who they were and what they were all about, and then brought that style over, they might have had a different outcome. But yeah, you know, there wasn't any team up there that we went, you know, that we saw that we were working and went, oh my God, we got to work them. Even the Oddities, we didn't mind working with.
Oh, the Oddities, man. And
that says a lot.
I remember reminiscing, you know, seeing the little clips on YouTube, your own feud of the Oddities, and you and Marshall were straight telling them, man, like, yo, we don't want to fight you. Get to the back. What are you doing? Get to the back. Bring these ICP guys out. Bring them out. Bring them out so we can beat them down. And I saw that, I was laughing, man, because they eventually came to the ring, and you give them some beat down, you give them some lick, I was like, oh!
That was a welcome to the business beat down. That's what that was.
If you ask me, they deserved it. That's all I'm saying. They deserved it. I was sitting here just laughing about it.
It's funny too, because we still work for ICP from time to time. They have a their own federation called Juggalo Championship Wrestling.
Okay.
And we actually, you know, do some stuff for them. And every year they have this big thing called the Juggalo Gathering, the Gathering of Juggalos. Out in Illinois. And we usually go out for that all the time. And, you know, it was what it was. I mean, they understood it. They took their licking like men. So, I mean, you know, that's all you can do.
I think it's safe to say they paid their dues, man. By that beat down. They paid their dues, and now they're doing their own thing, man. So,
that's right.
you have to pick up those guys, man. Boy, it's not everyone can take those sort of beat downs from you guys, man. That's some funny business. I've got another question. This one's come from Marion Toda of the STC. And besides Mosh, who was your other best friend backstage?
Who did we used to hang around with? You know, we always hung around with D-Lo. You know, he was one of the guys that I actually helped train in wrestling. You know, it was weird because we kind of basically, you know, we hung around with the Hardy Boys, Matt and Jeff. You know, we used to drive with Ken Shamrock from time to time. Kane, we used to drive with from time to time. Al Snow. You know, it was weird because, you know, there was a group of us that, you know, would all, you know, pretty much go together to, you know, when we did the house shows and we would all stay together and everything else like that. So there wasn't like one person that I would say that we hung around with the most. There was a group of us that we used to, you know, we all used to get along and we all used to have fun. Bob Holly was one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was weird because, you know, you hear so many different stories about how the Attitude Era was. And my story, you know, and I'm going to stick to it, it always felt like a family to me. You know, it always felt like, you know, everybody was very close. And, you know, when I used to bring my kids, well, my oldest daughter used to come to the wrestle matches. You know, they used to play with her, color with her. China used to play hide and seek with her out in the damn, you know, arena. And, you know, Owen Hart used to, you know, color with her in the cafeteria. You know, Steve used to play with them.
Yo, bro, that's Owen Hart, man. I know about him, man. You know what I mean? Like, I've heard, not just from you, but from other wrestlers, I've heard them say that Owen Hart, that guy, there was never a dull moment when he was hanging around with him.
Absolutely not. Nope. Great guy. But, you know, it was a big, it always felt like to me a big family, you know. You know, I hear people, you know, different people say it was, you know, cutthroat and, you know, everybody was stabbing each other in the back and this, that, and the other thing. And I really, you know, I didn't feel that way. You know, I didn't, you know, at least I guess with the tag teams, we all knew what our job was. We knew we weren't main event, you know, a main event tag team or anything else like that. We took what we were given, you know, and that's,
yeah,
you know, that's pretty much all you have to do in that, I guess, period of time. You know, you take what you're given and you run with it. You make what you can out of it, you know?
Yeah, man.
And that's with anything.
The tag team division back then, it was really diverse. It was like, there was a lot of you, man. You know what I mean? There was so much of you, which brings me to my next question. There was so much of you. I mean, even after bringing the next tag team, they call it, is it the Rock and Roll Express? They were yeah, now you'll probably remember this one. Because they were the NWA Tag Team Champions. And they put their titles on the line against you guys. And I saw that match. I want to ask you, you've got to be gutted when you realize that if you throw them out over the top ropes, you'd be disqualified. You're that close to getting the NWA Tag Team Champions, man.
Well, we came back, I think it was a couple weeks later, we beat them anyway. So, yeah.
Goodness.
So we did eventually beat them. We just didn't beat them in that particular match because they had the NWA rules and, you know, hell, you know, whatever.
But yeah, NWA rules in the WWF ring. You know what I mean? I thought the WWF ring and the WWF lights and all that would overshadow the NWA title. I guess not.
Well, that was one of their stipulations, I guess, on wrestling the match is it had to be NWA rules. I don't know. It was what it was, you know. It was, you know, it was good for the storyline, you know.
Yeah.
So eventually they got beat, and we actually won the belts, and you know we had them for, you know, quite a while, the NWA belts. And I think we lost.
Oh, they did win them in the end.
The new Midnight Express.
Yeah.
We lost to Bart and Bob Holly.
Bob Holly. I wonder where he is in the world today, man. Why? Is he still doing his thing? Is he trading up people? I don't know. Where Bob Holly is going today?
You know, I haven't heard from him or Chaz talks to him more than I do.
Yeah.
From what I hear, he's still around. He's still doing his thing and stuff like that. And so, yeah, I don't know what else he's doing. I don't like to, you know, guess or anything. I don't like to be the one to start or spread rumors or anything else like that. So the last time I talked to Chaz, he said, you know, Bob's doing shows occasionally and stuff like that. So,
okay. Yeah, man, let's clear that up just in case you're wondering. You know what I mean? You can take Bob Holly's picture off the milk carton. They could do that now.
They can do that.
Carton.
We can do that.
Definitely, man. All right. I've got my next question comes from, you talk about all these belts and all that. So my next question comes from SDC member Becky Tyson. And she's asking me to ask you, what's your proudest moment?
It would have to either, you know, it's pretty hard to describe them because, you know, one's definitely when we won the WWF tag team belts. The other one was actually being in our very first WrestleMania, WrestleMania 13, and actually winning the match at WrestleMania 13. So, I mean, there's not, you know, it's the Super Bowl of wrestling.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And then to win your part of that Super Bowl, you know, there's just not too many things that equal that feeling. You know, everybody's always saying, well, what was it like to win at WrestleMania and everything else? It's really damn hard to say. Have you ever won your lottery? No? I guess that might be close.
Whoa.
There's not a lot of people that won the lottery either. So it's hard to
decide. Yeah.
So it would have to be between our two, you know, most favorite, fondest moments, I guess you would say, you know, winning the WrestleMania 13 WWF tag belts.
Oh, man. That's the one, 97, yeah? That's the 97 WrestleMania 13. Boy, so much came out of that particular WrestleMania, man. Definitely. You know what I mean? That brings me to the next question, because we're saying 97. And it comes from my boy, Shadfather Wright. Let's go from WrestleMania to the Survivor Series. Now, you were at that pay-per-view. You did your thing out there. But what was the mood like? Because, you know, you're all a family. But that particular night, it's got to have been different. So describe that. What was the mood like in the locker room?
About?
Survivor Series 97. Montreal.
It's funny because people always ask me about this too, and what it was like, and, you know, what was the atmosphere like in the locker room and whatnot. You know, you always look at it through the wrestler's eyes, and you're like, oh my God, you're so pissed off and everything else. You can't believe Vince would do something like that and everything else. But then you look at a broader picture of it. Do I think Brett would have held up and did what he said he was going to do? Absolutely. Brett was totally that type of person. He's not one to say things and not do them. Brett is very professional. I still talk to Brett, you know, to this day. And, you know, do I think he would have did something underhanded or thrown the belt in the trash can like somebody else did? No, I don't think he would have did that. But on the other flip side, you know, you got to think of it as Vince protecting his business. You know, you have your heavyweight champ going to show up the very next day in 24 hours on your opposition TV channel. So
Len,
as your heavyweight champ.
I just want to point out, WCW, WWF, they own that now. So you can say.
All right.
It's cool.
You know, the very next day, you're going to have your heavyweight champ show up on their TV. You know, God only knows what they had plans for Brett and what he was going to do. So, you know, Vince was protecting his business. You know, we had a big meeting the next day, and he kind of broke it down to us and said, listen, you know, I've worked my whole entire life to have meaning behind this World Wrestling Federation championship belt.
Yeah.
So if I let the champion go to our opposition, our opponent, and show up on TV as your heavyweight champ, what does that say for us?
Yeah.
That makes us lower.
Yeah.
That makes us second best.
That makes you like, it's like the ultimate insult.
So, you know, Vince was protecting his company. You know, he was doing what he thought was right. And, you know, you can't blame the guy for it. You just, you know, you don't have to like his decision. You don't even have to agree with his decision.
Mm.
But I do understand it.
Yeah.
You know, I can understand it. But, you know, do I like, you know, what it did to Brett and everything? Absolutely not. Because, you know, Brett was one of the guys that always helped us when we were there.
Yeah.
You know, that would always, you know, talk to us. He would bring the kids and tell the kids to go play with the headbangers. And, you know, he was always very, very good to us. So you hated to see that because he was a friend. But you kind of understood it because it was a business decision.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you got to see both sides to it and everything else. But, you know, man, is that good for the history books? Is that a good story for the history books, that whole Montreal thing and everything else? So,
well, I'll tell you something. It would have been history anyway. If Vince McMahon let Bret Hart even go to WCW like that. You know what I mean? Whether it was a screw job or Bret Hart actually turned up on WCW with the WWF title, it would have been history. It was, you know, I mean, same way, and we've been talking about it, it'd be the same way. Forever in the history books. You know what I mean? WWF would be, it'd probably be over. It'd probably be all over for WWF right now. We'd probably be watching WCW right now.
There you go. You have no idea. Never know.
You know what I mean? It could have been all switched. It could have been all switched around. I mean, an alternate world with WCW. You know what I mean? You probably have like a spot called WWF Invasion, where stars of the WWF started invading WCW, like what they did in 2001, and run a storyline like that. Whichever way it went, it would have been history. So I mean, keeping with Vinnie Mac. Next question comes from DJ Front of the SDC, and he wants me to ask you this. Did you have much contact with Vince as a boss? What was he like? What was he like as a boss? Would you actually even work for him again?
Vince, he wasn't a bad boss. I mean, you know, you got to think about it. He's running a multi-billion-dollar company. You know, we had contact with him. If we had questions or concerns, we could, you know, talk to him and everything else. He had a very dry sense of humor.
Mm.
So if you didn't know Vince was joking, you would think he was being, you know, mean to you and stuff like that, because his sense of humor was so dry.
Yeah.
But, you know, he liked to have fun and joke around and kid with the boys and everything else in the back. You know, we never had a problem with him at all. You know, we used to live in South Jersey, so we weren't that far from Clayton Towers. So we used to go up there all the time, and we got to be really good friends with everybody. You know, we had our own key to the office and everything else.
Oh, wow.
So Vince's secretary, her name was Beth.
Yeah.
So, you know, we would go in there, and she'd be like, he's not in there right now. So we would go in his office. We would move his desk to the other side of the room. We would rearrange his office.
Oh, no.
We would do all kinds of, you know, stupid, crazy things, and he would walk into the office and just go, oh, my God, just get out. Just get out. You know, there was one time that he got, like, a box of candy or a box of something from somebody congratulating him or on something. So we took the card and we scribbled out the name of the person who sent it to him and wrote from the Headbangers. And, you know, so he thought he got candy from us. And, you know, we did fun things like that, you know. And, you know, he appreciated it because we were out there having a good time and promoting his brand, and you know, it was fun. You know, he was always like, you crazy Headbangers. Because, I mean, that's how we really are. We like to pull jokes. You know, we like to go out and have a good time. And as long as it wasn't hurting anything, who cares?
Yeah.
So, you know, we never had a problem with him at all.
I think
after you're gone, Vince has no idea who you are.
Oh, no.
So I could absolutely. I mean, if I saw him today, you know, at a show or something like that, he would talk to us. But he has no purpose for you anymore. So you're pretty much, you know, it's a shame, but you know, that's business. Am I heartbroken over it? Absolutely not. I totally understand it. Mm. This business is, what can you do for me now? Not what have you done or anything else. It's, what can you do for me now? What can you do for me in the future? It has nothing to do about the past. The past is exactly that, the past. And that's how Vince looks at it. He wants to know who's going to make his money now and tomorrow and the next day, not who made money for him yesterday or the day before. He wants to know who's going to do it for him now. Why do you think Rocky keeps showing up on TV? Because Rocky generates money.
No doubt.
And he knows this. So that's why you will see Rock time and time again, because Rocky is money.
That's another, yo, that's another episode of BSR STC from the UK to the US and back again. You know what I mean? I'm not going to rant about the Rock now. You know what I mean? I'm a Rock fan, but I'm going to rant about that another time. I'm not going into it now. It is gone. But it's true what you say. What can you do for him now? I mean, do you think he could, like, I don't know, help train up new tag teams, new up-and-coming tag teams, and, you know...
We would love to have, you know, our hand into, you know, helping, tag teams become more confident, to have it make more sense. But I don't think they really care. I don't think WWE really cares about tag teams anymore. And I can only say that because of, you know, what they have done from the Attitude Era up until now. They've done absolutely nothing with tag teams. You know, you got... two really good tag teams right now.
Yeah.
You got Uso Brothers, and then you have the Primetime Players. Like them both. You know, I love that shit. That shit is entertaining. You know, there are people that, they're characters that you can get behind. But they don't give them, you know, the TV time or anything else. And, you know, it's a shame. Because, you know, I think that we could really help, you know, the Usos and the Primetime Players, you know, whether it's, you know, being in the ring with us, whether it's just, you know, training with them in the ring or something, you know, there's always something to learn from somebody. There's not a day that goes by that somebody gets in the ring and doesn't learn something from somebody. And the day you do stop learning is the day for you to get out.
No doubt, man. It's, you know what? It's funny you say that, though, about the Usos. Because last time I checked, they're like the number one contenders for the tag team titles right now.
Yeah, how did they do that so fast?
Well, I don't know. They came out. I was watching Raw one day. They came out. They did their Samoan chant. And then Pyro went off. And all of a sudden, they defeated Primetime Players. And I think it was Tons of Spunk. In like in a number one contendership match, one time, bow, beat them, and now I think they're gonna be on at the next pay per view fighting the Shield for the tag team. But why will they win? Why? I don't know, man. The Shield, they're just too hot right now. Everybody loves the Shield.
But does anybody buy into them being number one contenders? That's the thing. They have elevated their game up to be number one contenders. Now if they beat Kane and Daniel Bryan, that might be something else. Then I could see them being number one contenders, yes. Because they have beaten former WWE tag team champs. Tons of Funk have never been tag team champs. You know, Primetime Players have never been tag team champs. So how does beating those two elevate them to number one contendership? It doesn't. It absolutely doesn't.
I see what you're saying now.
That's why the fans will not get behind that. Will not get behind that. I guarantee it. And I think that's why it is probably, you know, I don't know, is that on the pay-per-view or is that the match before the pay-per-view starts?
Well, I was hoping that they'd feature in the pay-per-view for the next one. I think it's the Money in the Bank, or I like to call it Money in the Bank because of my Jamaican roots. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Is it during the pre-show? Or is it on the pay-per-view? I mean, I would like to see it on the pay-per-view. And if they're going to try to elevate their tag teams, let the Usos win. Let the Usos go over. Let them lose the next day on Monday Night Raw. That still makes them a championship team. No matter how long that you hold the WWE titles, the belts, or anything else, as long as you have them, you're a contender. You're a championship caliber team. And, you know, the Godwins. After they beat us, they lost it the very next day on Monday Night Raw to LOD. But they were still tag team champions.
Yeah.
They still had that name. So then the Usos would be more credible. So put them over against the Shield. That elevates them way up there. I mean, oh my God.
You know what? When I hear it from you, it makes a lot more sense. You know what I mean? You pin one of them, you get the belt. That's it. That brings me to Mark Henry. Because Mark Henry, he's fighting John Cena at the pay-per-view for the WWE title, right? And a lot of the community that actually rooting for Mark Henry, you know what I mean? Especially after what he did with that fake retirement thing.
That was freaking awesome. That was awesome. Mark, oh my God. Yeah, he is so freaking funny because the way he was doing that, that's really Mark. That's how he is. He's a big, lovable teddy bear is what he is. And everybody bought into that because they haven't, you know, that whole sexual chocolate thing and everything. That's really Mark. That's how he is. You just want to reach out and you just want to hug him because that's how Mark is. I mean, he's just like that. He is extremely likable. Even though he did my knee, he's the one where I was gone for a long period of time.
Yeah.
I dislocated my knee and I had knee surgery because of Mark Henry. But that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
But he's just like that. And everybody loved that. They bought into it and they never saw it coming. I don't care. The smartest Mark out there never saw that coming.
You ever. Got that right, because I never saw that coming. I thought oh man, Mark, oh man, I wanna miss Mark Henry, man. And he did that, and he done that swerve, he did that move, and I don't know why WWF and I've got to making those shirts saying that's what I do, because straight up and down, I'll be wearing it on my back immediately. That's what I do. It's brilliant.
It was one of the best things that they've done so far this year.
Definitely.
That's the best little angle, little, you know, swerve things that they've done this year. Now, the best thing is going to be when, you know, it comes out that CM Punk is the leader of the Shield. That's going to be another good swerve.
Oops. Oh.
No, I'm kidding.
Do you know something we don't?
Nah, I'm kidding. That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
It would be, but at the same time, the Shield are doing really well as themselves. You put CM Punk in the mix, it may kill off all that momentum. But I suppose it depends on where it goes. I mean, I know some people have always been wondering about a fourth member. You know, names like CM Punk, names like Ryback, you know what I mean? Names like that have been thrown in there. And I was like, no, man, keep them as the three of them. If you're going to have a fourth, you've got to have a fourth. Get one of the Divas from next, from NXT. You know what I mean? Get one of them people, because, you know, and that will shake up things in the Divas division too.
Yeah, well, I hear Kelly's coming back Monday.
Oh, I heard that too. I don't know what, I've heard mixed emotions about that as well. Oh, she can't wrestle. She just looks pretty. This, that, this,
hair.
You know, what difference does that make? Caitlin and AJ, they had a wicked match. Now you want to bring in Kelly. What's all that about? You know.
Here's a good thing for all the fans out there. It's pro wrestling. Don't try to figure it out because you never will.
There you go.
Just take it for what it is. Sit there, sit back with your beer, your pizza, however you watch Monday Night Raw, and just enjoy it. Don't try to figure out the who, what, where, and why, because it'll never happen. And even somebody in the business, I don't try to figure it out. It's not worth it.
See? Now you've heard it. BDSI Network. The entire wrestling, not just the internet now, the entire wrestling community. You just heard it from someone who's in the wrestling business himself. Don't even attempt to work it out. Take it for what it is and get some jobs. Enjoy it. Just enjoy it.
And
stop picking it apart. You know,
it cracks me up because everybody and their mother's like, oh, TNA sucks and TNA this and TNA will never be WWE and everything else. Well, you know what? You know, the Aces and Eights is just a stupid runoff of, you know, the NWO. Well, you know what? The NWO was a stupid runoff of the Four Horsemen. And you know what? The Four Horsemen was a runoff of the Fabulous Freebirds. History always repeats itself.
Word.
People, stop it. Just sit back, enjoy it. If you don't like it, everybody has one of these. It's called
That's
a remote.
Right.
See the channel thing right there? Push it. Watch something else. Nobody's forcing you to watch TNA. Nobody's forcing you to watch WWE. If you don't like it, watch Betty Crocker or some stupid shit like that. Don't sit there and criticize something you know nothing about. It just cracks me up. You will always have, you know, a group that's trying to take something over. It's entertaining. It's something to watch. Now and go, oh, it sucks because it's PG. You know, look at it, take it for what it's worth. There will never, ever be another Attitude Era again. Stop trying to put everything up against it.
Tell them.
Stop it. It's not going to happen. There will never be another Attitude Era. There will never be another group of talent that will be like that ever again.
Exactly. Because I just want to, you know, I just want to reflect on Attitude Era real quick, right? Because you say, your humans are like a family. You're pretty much yourself. And that was one of the magical things about Attitude Era. It wasn't so much gimmick. It was people just simply being yourselves.
That's right.
And that was pretty much the key to success. You know what I mean? The head honcho there was Stone Cold Steve Austin. And he was about simply put being himself. You know what I mean? Now you've got John Cena, right? And in my estimation, John Cena, really and truly, is being himself.
And you know what? Say what you want about John Cena, that he has those five moves and everything else. But you know what? He's putting asses in the seats. My thing is, if you want to criticize him and say he only knows five moves, don't buy the damn tickets. You have that option. Jesus Christ, shut up. You can't do what he does. Shut up. Stop it. John Cena is the spokesperson now for the WWE. If you don't like it, tough shit. That's where it is. I'll tell you what, he knows the best five moves out there because people are still, that's right, turn their channel. You know what? It just cracks me up because he does so much more than wrestling. He's out there in the communities. He gives back to the children. He does that Make-A-Wish Foundation and everything. You know what? You got to give the guy credit because he does so much more than anybody ever knows. And nobody ever wants to say anything about it. You know what? You know, you may not like his wrestling or what he does in the ring, but there's more to him than that.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to like what he does, but you're still watching it.
You have to respect his attribute, man. You know what I mean? To the point where, it's come to the point where he's actually trolling the fans. He's taking the PI double out of the fans. I've seen him come on Raw the next day after WrestleMania. Oh, everyone want to see my heel turn. And he's there actually turning the heels on his trainers, on his sneakers. I've seen him do that. I'm like, why? Why am I not have to get underneath their skin? Talk about a heel turn. Okay. I'm going to do it too. There's been times when I've been like, oh man, this is it now. This is it. Surely must have to turn heel. Surely. It's real, man. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes John Cena can make fun of his fans and say, oh, you want me to turn heel? Oh, see, there's my heel turn right there. I mean, that's what kills it. Honestly.
It's funny. He's very entertaining to watch, you know, and that's what the fans are there for. They're there to be entertained. You know, like I said, stop trying to figure it out. Vince will never let anybody figure it out, what the storylines are going to be. You'll never be able to guess what happens tomorrow. You'll never know what's going to be on SmackDown tonight, you know, or whenever this airs. You'll never figure it out. So just stop trying. Take it for what it is. Sit back and enjoy it and just watch it. You know, it just cracks me up, you know, what I see on the internet, you know, from fans and smart marks and everything else, and it's just you know, it's crazy.
That's what, you know what I mean, that's how I do it. I just take it for what it is. I mean I get some jokes out of it, you know what I mean. I feel like you're watching it, And I'll laugh just like I did back in Attitude, just like I did way before then in Hogan era. You know what I mean? If I see something, I'm gonna laugh at it. You know what I mean?
And I'm not saying, you know, that I don't sit there and I don't criticize it and everything else. Yeah, I do that too. But, you know, I'm in the business and sometimes I sit there and go, oh my God, what are they thinking?
Yeah.
You know, oh my God, I can't believe that they just did that. You know, sometimes I'm watching and go, oh my God, that's so not PG.
I think they're pushing the envelope a little bit recently. And I think,
well, I think the reason they did that is because Linda lost her election. So, you know,
There you go.
It's pretty safe to go back to, you know, PG-13 or, you know, no rating or whatever it was back then.
There you go. I've tried to tell people the same thing. I don't know why they don't listen to me, Glenn. Honestly, God, I told people, I said, as soon as Linda lost the election last year, we've seen certain things happen. Certain things have happened that, like, push the envelope a little bit. Don't forget.
And you know what? And I think that's why I enjoy TNA a little bit more, because they're a little bit more edgier.
Yeah.
And their storylines and stuff like that remind me a lot of the Attitude Era and stuff like that. And it's a lot of guys that I also worked with during the Attitude Era, with the Dudleys and,
yeah,
and people like that, and Kurt and everything. So, I mean, you know, I kind of like their edgier storylines a little bit more than what the WWE storylines are. And, you know, it just seems like their storyline, I don't want to say better put together, but they kind of are. You know, they kind of make, I don't know, it just seems like some storylines in WWE, they try it, and then it doesn't seem to go the way they want, and they just abandon ship.
Yeah.
So, you know, the TNA storylines, they go and go and go. Nobody liked the Aces and Eights thing when it first started. But now look at it. You know, they stayed with it. They kept it going. They were like, you know what? We got a good thing, and I'm going to prove it. So,
Understand this, BDSI Network. You're experiencing real talk from the man called Glenn Roof here, a.k.a. Fresh of the Headbangers. Bird is bomb, man. Honestly. In fact, I want to talk about the name Fresher. How do you even get that name? Was it a name that Vince McMahon gave you? Like, you're going to be Fresher. That's your name.
It's funny because we were the Headbangers before we even signed with the WWF. We were down in Smoky Mountain Wrestling with Jim Cornette. And he came up with the Headbanger name. And he came up with Mosh and Thrasher. And, you know, that's how we got it, was through Cornette and Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So we came in to WWF as the Headbangers.
Okay. Oh, yeah, man, that's cool. That's much like CM Punk. You know what I mean? Yeah,
right.
He came in like that. He said, my name's CM Punk over here, Ring of Honor. I'm saying, CM Punk over there, over here, over here, over there. So I'm coming to WWE as that name, CM Punk.
Yep.
Look at him now. He stuck to it. Look at him now. I mean, he's got big ups to the man called Phil Brooks, man. I mean, big ups to him. I'm not his biggest fan. I don't make that quite plain. But how can I not respect him, man? I have to respect him. He's every man.
I mean, you know, you gotta look at his body of work too. It's just, you know, everything that he's been able to accomplish and everything. It's just, it's unbelievable. And he is incredibly gifted at what he does.
Mm.
I mean, he makes the fans believe what he's doing. And
yeah,
that's the job of them, is to sell their product, and their product is wrestling. So, whether you like him or you hate him, you have to respect what he does.
Trust me, I respect him. I used to have like a love-hate relationship with him because, you know, as you say, the man told his character really well. When he was on that straight edge business, the straight edge society, I hated him. I hated him. That's me as a Mark fan, whatever you want to call it. I fell for all of that. I was there cussing and swearing at him and all sorts when he was on the TV on SmackDown, going around shaving people's hair and beating down people and all of that. I fell for that. You know what I mean? From time I fall for that, and I'm a big man, you must know he's doing his job really well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like nowadays, I just respect everything he do, man. Sometimes I give him a nickname. I call him Punk Midas because it seems to be like everything he seems to do, he gets away with it. And certain guys in the business, they couldn't be able to get away with the things CM Punk does because they'd be fired on the spot. It's because CM Punk draws money. He's the number one. He puts butts in the seats. That's what
right.
he means.
That's what it's about.
Wow. That is big. So, I mean, clearly you still watch the product. So, the next question from SEC member Matthew Blick is simply this. Who do you rate the most right now?
Who do I what?
Who do you rate the most? Like, who's the guy that you're really high on right now?
Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler. Now, this is the part where I normally boo, I normally cough. Personally, I can't stand him. Maybe it's working. Once again, it's working. The Dolph Ziggler character, I can't stand him. Maybe it's working. He's selling his character well. That's just me.
To me, he is the best pure athlete that they have up there right now. You know, everything he does is just so, so intricate, so good, so right there. You know, for them to take the belt off him so fast and everything else was just crazy, absolutely crazy.
Well, it's I think it's because of these concussions that he'd be suffering lately. You know what I mean? Like, it's mad. I mean, they had Del Rio, Bertie, I like to call him, kick him in his head so much times and give him concussion and all that. And now it's been like a double switch, and that's been rare. I haven't seen a double switch like that in the WWF, WWE. Probably since Bret Hart and Austin in WrestleMania 13. There's probably been another one since then. There was another one. Kurt Angle and Stone Cold Steve Austin in 2001. That was another double switch. But, we haven't seen one of them in ages. That one right there, now Del Rio is the heel. Now Dolph Ziggler's the face. That's going to make the storylines extremely interesting, especially when it comes to AJ and Big E Langston.
Right.
I'm keeping on the subject of AJ and all them people. The Divas. This question comes from Lee Stedex. And I like this dude, man. I like this dude. He asked me to ask you simply, do you keep in contact with the Divas right now? Have you got any of them? Are there numbers you want to pass over to him? Your wife has the building. Your wife has the building. So,
I talked to a couple of them. I talked to Mickey James a lot from TNA. I still talk to Deborah McMichael.
Yeah.
You know, from back in our time.
Yeah, man. The inventor of the puppies, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I talked to some of them. I still talk to Terry Reynolds, you know, from time to time. But, you know, not many of them. But those three I can pretty much, I talk to the most. You know, through Facebook and Twitter and whatnot.
Oh, okay. So you can't slip a number to my man Lee.
No, I have no number to anybody.
Oh, unlucky Lee.
Sorry.
I did ask. I did try to reach out. I mean, is there any consolation? I have seen Deborah McMichael on Facebook. Just add her. See what happens, man. You never know. Mickey James, not so sure. Who's your one you mentioned? Terry Ronald. I haven't seen them two, but I've definitely seen Deborah.
You never say never.
Definitely, man. Never say never. So, Lee, there might still be hope for you, mate. That's all I got to say about that. Brilliant. Oh my gosh. He's got a picture. I can't even believe that. He's got a picture of... Is that Deborah?
That was Deborah, yep.
Yeah, he's got a picture. He's got a picture of Deborah. And he's got one with Mickey James. Oh, no.
Oh,
there's the man himself, Bret Hart. Yeah, man. Bret Hart, man. Yo, let me tell you something before I continue on. It's really good that Bret Hart and Vince McMahon and Shawn Michaels are all on good terms now. You know what I mean? That's a beautiful thing that we see that now. It just goes to, you know what I mean? It just goes to show how much bad blood you can have. You can always reconcile. You can always have closure. And I love that. Even Bruno Sammartino is in the Hall of Fame, man.
That's right. Yep.
Bruno Valentino's in the Hall of Fame. Not thanks to Triple H, man. I'm big up to that dude, man. Paul Levesque, man. But I'm big up to him. Let me tell you something for real, Glenn. As a mark, 10 years ago, you'd never, ever hear me big up Triple H. Never. He was a top heel, and I've never, in my opinion, never seen a better heel than him.
No, he's one of the best, if not the best at what he does. Absolutely.
And I wouldn't put it past, because he's got that COO title now, and I wouldn't put it past Triple H to have a heel run as the COO later on in storylines. Imagine that.
I can see him doing something like that for his final hoorah. I could
definitely see that, because Triple H to me looks like he's got hardly more left in the tank. He looks like he could go on for 5 years.
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah, man. Because of Triple H, man. Right, the next question. And he goes like this. So, okay, if you wasn't wrestling, this one comes from Gurpreet Kaylee. If you wasn't wrestling, what career would you have chosen?
Oh, man, I have no idea. I would actually probably want to do, and I'm actually starting to get into it now, doing some acting and some stunt work. You know, give me a building to jump off of, and I'll do it. I'm actually doing a movie over in the UK coming up soon. It's called Rumble-rama, and I'm in that movie, and then I'm going out to L.A. at the end of July and shooting another movie with a director. His name is Craig Ross Jr., who produced and directed a couple of NCIS and Prison Breaks and stuff like that. He's doing an independent film, and I'll be in his film, and I'll be in one that we're actually going to shoot over in the U.K., in coming up very soon, called Rumble-rama. Check out the Facebook page for Rumble-rama. Got quite a few people in it that people all know.
So we could be seeing you over the UK very soon then.
Very soon. Who knows? Never say never. I learned that a long time ago.
Well, you already know this is SEC from the UK. Rhythm, and the moment we find out you're in the UK, you know we other guys will want to reach out to you.
Absolutely. We'll definitely do something when I come over.
Yeah, man. You have to keep us in the loop about that one, definitely. You have to keep us in the loop. Wow. We got to, see, here's another one. Wrestler, turning actor / stuntman. All we've got to do now is put you on the front cover of a game, WWE 15 or something.
Hey, I figured if Rocky can do it,
exactly.
Why can't I?
Why can't you? Why can't
He's not
you?
The only one that has an eyebrow, goddammit. If this man.
Hey, you do the people's eyebrows quite good as well, you know. You've even got the goatee going right there, man. All you need is a little tan. I mean, I'll be talking to a rock brother.
he just got all the good catchphrases before us. That's all he did.
Well, he did say when he came back from injury, or he got booed as Rocky Maivia. He come back, he says, just give me a mic. Look at him now. I've got nothing but the most respect and praise for him. Other wrestling fans, not so sure. You know what I mean? Based on like the latest goings on, but I don't. Once again, that's for another show. I don't want to get into that, man. Let's get back to this. That's all I'm gonna say about that. Next question goes from Dawn Bailey. I mean, me and Dawn go way back a little bit. Right. Now, the Hall of Fame. Other than yourself, who would you want to induct in there?
Who would I want to induct in there?
Yeah, the WWE Hall of Fame.
I would, you know, everybody's always going to say Owen Hart and everything else. I would love to see Ted DiBiase in there.
A $1 million man?
Yeah. Yeah. He was probably one of the...
I think he's already in there.
Is he?
Yeah.
And this is a bad question for me, because I have no idea who's in there and who's not in there.
Well, because frankly, you're not the only one.
Sometimes because frankly, the Hall of Fame is of course. I understand it. Will you ever see the Headbangers in there? No. Why? I don't know. I don't care. For me, that Hall of Fame thing is, I don't know. There's no hall. There's no place that you can go and there's no Hall of Fame like the Football Hall of Fame. You know, over here we have the Football Hall of Fame where they have busts of their heads and, you know, jerseys and, you know, stuff that they actually did and everything else. Vince doesn't have anything like that. So that Hall of Fame is just, would it be nice? Sure it would be to be recognized in something like that. But it's just, you know, there's an actual pro wrestling Hall of Fame, and it's in New York. It's in upstate New York that actually has a hall with different items in there, like ring robes and boots and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a Hall of Fame. Just saying, hey, I'm in the Hall of Fame, it doesn't mean anything unless people can go and visit it. That means something. You know, like my kids, if I go, well, he's in the Hall of Fame, they're like, and?
You know what I mean? I've always thought that, probably in the WWE headquarters, I thought there would be like a Hall of Fame or something.
And that's what I know of.
Man! That's embarrassing, man!
Something that you sell tickets to and, you know, you showcase it and everything else. You know, it's just, I don't know. You know, I would love to see, you know, Chris Benoit in there.
There you go.
You know, regardless of, you know, what he did outside the ring, that doesn't discredit what he did inside the ring. You know, there's so many different stories about what happened. Now, I knew Chris personally.
Yeah.
I got a lot of different feelings on this about, you know, what happened and everything else. There's too many things pointing to the fact that, you know, that he wasn't, I don't want to say the only one involved. I don't think he was the only one involved that had their hands into it. But, you know, that's just my opinion. I think Chris should be remembered for, you know, what he did. You can separate, you know, what people do outside the ring. They do it all the time.
Mm.
And what they do inside the ring. You know, I think he should be celebrated for what he did inside the ring. I think, you know, not doing that is a discredit to wrestling. Because he was one of the best technical wrestlers ever. And to not, I guess, let the younger people see that, I think it is a sham. I think it's bad. You know, and then in the same turn, I can understand why they don't want to showcase that because of what he did.
Yeah.
There has to be a happy medium somewhere. You have to be able to juggle, you know, both things. You know, hey, Chris Benoit was an excellent wrestler, but this is what he did outside the ring. This is what he did to his family. We're not condoning that. We're not saying, you know, we're overlooking that. You know, we understand what happened and what he supposedly did and everything else. But this is also what he did. This is also the Chris Benoit that I remember.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's going to remember Chris Benoit for, you know, what happened and not for what he did inside the ring. And I think that's bad.
I think it is a shame. It is a shame how society, how human society does things, you know, how we think about things. We always like to, you know, remember people for more of their negative than their positive traits. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. For me, is the whole Chris Benoit thing, in my personal opinion, is like, it's like Tupac and Biggie. You will never know what really went down. We could have these debates for years and years and years and years to come, and the real truth will probably never come out.
We'll never know.
And on top of that, the other thing I'd like to say about Chris Benoit is, I'm not a wrestling fan. I like to see the brawlers. I like to see brawlers. I like to see fair fist fighting and hardcore business and all of that. But then you come across someone like Chris Benoit, who's proper technical and does everything he does, and I'm so high on him, that says a lot. Because some wrestling fans, they love the technical side. There's some wrestling fans that like the brawling side. I'm more of a brawling side. But for me to even put Chris Benoit up there, like, he's one of my favorites, that says a lot. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Chris Benoit, yeah, man. Dude should be in there, because people have been arguing this point for years, saying, oh, well, you got that Mike Tyson dude up in there, and he's a convicted rapist and all them on all them things.
I mean, you could go on and on about everything. You know, there's a lot of people out there that that don't think Vince should be paying for the rehab that he sends guys into when they, you know, have some substance abuse problems and everything else. But, you know, you got other guys that, you know, are having kidney failure and stuff like that due to nothing more than just bad health. And they can't get any help from Vince. But you'll send a guy to rehab, you know, 3, 4, 5 times and spend thousands upon thousands of dollars to get this guy straight.
Mm.
Who sometimes he doesn't even want the help. You know, to me, I mean, you know, it is what it is. You know, Vince wants to help these people, you know, get straight and everything else. And that is great. I'm all for that.
Yeah, you know, he's doing that in Sonny, hasn't he? Tommy Lynch or whatever her name is.
What's that?
Sonny.
Tammy, yeah.
I think that's her name. She was known in the WWF as Sonny. I think he's been doing that for her as well.
Right. But, you know, I know a guy right now, Mo, from Men on a Mission. He has kidney problems. You know, he can't get any help from Vince. You know, he was never in rehab. He was never, you know, a pill user or a drinker or anything else. He just has kidney problems because I guess he's overweight.
Yeah.
You know, but nobody's reaching out to help him or anything else. And you know, I just think, you know, if you're going to help the people that are, you know, that are having trouble with substance abuse and stuff like that, you should also lend a hand to these people that, you know, are having arthritic knees and bad backs and neck fusions done because of all their time that they spend in the ring, you know, for Vince. Or, you know, I think they, you know, there should be some kind of union.
Yeah.
You know, for the wrestlers, you know, and it's something that's been talked about for years, but it'll never happen because Vince owns everything. You know, you can only do unions like that if, you know, all the guys get together and pull forward. You know, there's so many guys out there that, you know, that have trouble walking, that have bad knees, and they don't have the money to, you know, get knee replacements or hip replacements or, you know, their shoulders done. But, you know, give me a bunch of pills and you know, send me to rehab. Like I said before, I understand that, and I understand, you know, everybody wanting to be helped and helping people. I'm all for that. But what about the other guy? What about the other guys that don't need rehab, but they need other help,
yeah,
you know, with their bodies and stuff like that, so they don't have to go through popping pills and everything else just so they can get up in the morning? What about them? What about those people?
Mm.
And, you know, that's my biggest thing, is if you're going to help people that have substance abuse, which, again, I'm all for, I just want to make sure everybody understands that.
Yeah.
You have to reach out and help the guys that, you know, that need neck fusions, that have to have their shoulders done, you know, that have bad knees now from taking bumps in the ring and everything else. What about those guys? You know, should we sit back and just ignore them? I don't believe that. I think that's wrong. But I'm just a little guy on the totem pole.
Wow. Wow. It's true, man. Especially, you know, you guys been on the road for so long. And it's a big out schedule where you hardly see your family and everything. I mean,
at the at our, I guess, peak of our time, we were 1 year on the road, 275 days. So, I mean, we were barely getting home. We would get home on a Wednesday, have enough time to wash your stuff and everything else to fly out on Thursday night, Friday morning. So, no, you give up a lot. You give up a lot. And I don't think, you know, some of the guys that today, like for example, Mo, and the same thing that Jake went through, Jake the Snake, you know, getting his shoulder done. The same thing that Scott Hall went through with getting his hip done. They had to go out and get donations from the fans and everything else. If there was some kind of funds or something there for them to get help with, you know, when their career is over and stuff like that, you know, would we be going through this? Would all these guys actually need rehab that are taking these pain pills and that are doing stuff like that? Would we actually have to send them to rehab, or would we just have to get them, you know, their knees done, their shoulder done, their hips done, you know, to prevent them from taking medication to numb that pain, to numb that feeling? That might be a better route. Vince, you might want to think about that.
He does, man. You know, I mean, the WWE, they're trying to do so much, all this Make-A-Wish Foundation, all this good stuff, you know what I mean, behind the
Absolutely.
Scenes. But there's still a lot more they can do.
And to me, it's the part of where I said, you know, Vince is only concerned with the people that can do stuff for him now, not the people that have did stuff for them. You know, we were there through the Attitude Era. We helped, you know, take it to the next level. We were there, you know. So, you know, that's the one thing I don't agree with.
Man, Vince McMahon, fix up, man. And that's on me, a fan. You know what I mean? Fix up, man. There's always room for improvement, man. I mean, help out your people,
help
man.
Everybody.
Help out your people, man. They brought it back to, I mean, to entertain you and the fans and go through mad injuries and I mean, and being on the road for so long. And, yo, you're doing a lot, homie. But you can do that little bit more. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Do that little bit more. Then you can be a self-proclaimed billionaire. Just like, you know what I mean?
Absolutely do it. I mean, it would be so easy that if anybody that was ever employed by WWE, whether it was a wrestler, an in-ring entertainer that needed, you know, medical coverage, maybe he could reach out and he could go, all right, I'll buy you guys medical coverage, but you have to pay so much. You know, just something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't even have medical. When you're a wrestler, you're an independent contractor. You have absolutely no medical coverage at all unless you buy it outside of, you know, outright.
Mm.
Yeah, and I just think with the position that Vince is in right now and everything that he does do with the Make-A-Wish Foundation, with, you know, the substance abuse programs and everything else, he should have some kind of program set up for the guys that need body repair. Guys that need, you know, their aches and pains addressed. You know, we do it for the military, you know. Vince needs to find, like, a VA hospital for old retired wrestlers. Something like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Veteran Wrestlers Hospital or something like that. VWH.
He should do something. You know what I mean? Definitely needs to do something, man, with his so-called self-proclaimed billionaire ass. You know what I mean?
That's my rant on that stuff. So, next question.
Next question. All day. All right. Attitude Era, man. You know what I mean? Definitely renowned. In fact, forget about it. I might even call it Attitude Era. I call it TV-14. Right? We've had big out controversial storylines. You know what I mean? We've had that Katie Vick thing. We've had Shawn Michaels teaming up against God, McMahonism. You know, there's been, there's like one with Goldust Was it Goldust? And he kissed Ahmed Johnson on the lips and all that. Mad storylines. So, this one, once again, comes from Dawn Bailey. How did you feel being involved in a controversial storyline of domestic violence which did surround your teammates?
The part that I was involved with, it was the good, I guess it was the good end, if you want to say that there's ever a good end in domestic violence.
Yeah.
I was in the part of, I guess, discovering it and bringing it up and stuff like that. But, you know, with that storyline, it was reality. I mean, it was, you know, domestic violence was really prevalent back then, and it was really, you know, out in everybody's face. So for us to do a storyline about it was completely real. I mean, and I think that's what made the storylines back then so intriguing, is they were real life storylines. You know, I didn't have a feeling one way or the other about it. It was something that, you know, it was all right. I was gonna get, what it was is that GTV, to bring everybody up to speed. It was GTV and Chaz's manager was putting makeup on her face to make it appear that she was being hit and beaten and stuff like that. So I had a camera and it was taping her, putting the makeup on and everything else. And then I took that to him. So it was an alleged, you know, domestic violence. It was never really domestic violence. It was just alleged. So
basically,
you know,
it was a story from the real.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, it was part of reality that we just put a different spin on it with the makeup and everything else. So it was never really a domestic violence thing. She was just trying to get him in trouble.
Man. Yeah, man. Oh, it's gonna, you know what? I'm sure there's gonna be more controversial storylines, even in the product that it is now. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter if TNA, WWE, PG, whatever. You know what I mean? It's not the end of controversial storylines. You know what I mean? All the other day we had Zeb Coulter come in with Jack Swagger and talking about people can't cross his borders. For one, I hate that character. It works. You know what I mean? It works. Final question. Simply put, man, and this comes from the boss man of the STC himself, Jamie Maverick Shields. You know what I mean? Shout out to him for him once again as well, making this happen. Right. I mean, we all know that. There you go. STC for life is the key ring. Yo, Jay, I want my key ring, yo. I want my key ring, Holmes.
I got one and you don't.
That's not fair. You know what I mean? Look how I'm on you, Jay. And it's how you do me. But it's all right. It's all right. You know what I mean? You make this happen. I got the most respect for him. The Headbangers. You know, you're brilliant tag team. Multiple times tag team champions. Everywhere you've become a tag team champion. So now, who would be your ultimate one-on-one battle with any superstar, past and present, and if you think you could take them on?
I would, you know, it's funny because, you know, I would probably like to wrestle Brett, probably one-on-one.
Brett.
Just because he is, to me, the total
package.
Total package, right. I mean, he could brawl with the best of them.
Yeah.
He could mat wrestle with the best of them. He was technically sound with all of them. He could do the high-flying stuff, you know, when he wanted to. You know, he went off the second rope and, you know, he just, you know, it was weird because we wrestled Brett and I think it was Brett and Andrew once. Yeah. And it was right after we won the tag team belt. And it was just, you know, it was one of those matches that you never wanted it to end, because every step that you took in the ring, you were just gaining so much knowledge and so much wisdom and stuff like that. And, you know, I could sit and talk to Brett for hours, and it'd be totally not about wrestling, but you could put a spin on it, and it would still, you would still learn something from it. He was just, you know, he was
shame.
Just that way.
It's a real, you know what I mean, it's a real shame that Bret Hart's career got cut short like that, man. And Boy, I'll tell you something. It'd be more than a 4 out of 10 if that match happened. You know what I mean?
I think I could take him now. I don't know about back then, but I think I could take him now.
Oh, come on! What if there's no JR on, here, on this, man? Come on, man. Boy, oh boy. Hey, yo. BDSR Network. Perfect Plex Radio. Smack Talk Center. Forget what I've said all before. Forget about everything I've said over the last how many weeks of how much controversial episodes we've done. You have just heard a classic. I don't care how cliche it is. You've truly heard a classic. The infamous Informer. Dan Roof of the Headbangers. Doink the Clown. Rest in peace, brother. You know what I mean? He's done his thing, man. You know what I mean? He made himself look like a joke in the ring. What was a brilliant worker. What a shame. What a shame. You know what I mean? Tag team champions of the world. The Headbangers, yo. Bang your head. The man called Thrasher. Who will wear a skirt on the street and get away with it. No one can tell him anything. You know what I mean? You try and diss him about his skirt. Answer to his Dobermans, man.
Yo. Here's a funny. Can you read that?
Whoa, that show, girl.
Thousands of pretty girls, plus three ugly ones.
Three ugly ones? Hey, the thousands are gonna override the three ugly girls, man. I think about that's when one of my friends of mine getting married or something. Yeah, that's where we're gonna go. We gotta go to showgirls. Where is that, by the way?
L.A.
Go.
Los Angeles.
You're going to get married. That's where we're going. We're going to L.A. We're going to Showgirl. It's been recommended by Dan Roof, Thrasher himself. You see what I'm saying? From the time he says you have to go to Showgirl, then damn it, I'm going to Showgirl. That's all I'm going to say.
Just stay away from the three ugly ones.
Yeah, just stay away from the three ugly ones. But there's thousands of them, man. You said there's thousands. And there's three ugly ones? Why? Hey. Yo, nah, on the real, I want to thank you so much for coming through, man, for this interview, man. You know what I mean?
No problem.
It's been simply put, honor and privilege to be talking to you, man. You know what I mean? Like back in 97, I'll tell you the truth, 97, right? 97 and 98 and all them years, I used to see you and Mush coming just a straight bang in your head, you know what I mean? In the entrance and wearing the skirts and all that. And my mom's would be like, what on earth are they doing? You know what I mean? But my mom would turn around to me and said, you know what? Despite that, they're still good wrestlers. And that's what I love about my mom's, man. My mom, she could tell a good wrestler like that. She could tell me, Michael, that man, that guy right there, he's going to be WWE champion. And she's never been wrong. She said that about The Rock. And she said that about Edge. And she said it about Kurt Angle. And I was like, whoa. You know what I mean? Way before there was even champions, my mom told me straight. Man, once again, big up yourself, man. You know what I mean? Absolutely, big up yourself. The most respect is concrete, man, for coming out here, man. You know what I mean? You just heard it with Classic. Yo, you just heard Ben Roof and the infamous Informer for the Smack Talk Center.
Man's got, all right, man, Michael, it was good to be on the show. Everybody, make sure you tune into Smack Talk Central. Why? Because I said so.
You said so for me. I mean, don't listen to me. Listen to them, man. Smack Talk Center on Facebook. Smack Talk Center on Twitter. You know what I mean? Dial that in. You know what I mean? Dial that in on your Facebook. Dial that in on your Twitter. You know what I mean? You'll be able to find us, man. But just make sure you're not a weirdo, man. Because I'm better than you weirdos trying to join us. Because you're a weirdo, forget about it, man. You're not coming in the group, man. Word is fine. And that's coming from me, man. You're a decent person. You can come in, man. For the best investing banter. Hey, yo. Game Roof, big up yourself. I'm your community informer. Smack Talk Center, STC for life, and it don't get no better. Big up, salute.